welcome all of Welcome all us listeners. This is a podcast that has no name, and because we have no name, we can do whatever the hell we want to do. So this episode is going to be a series, a season recap for the wonderful show Mr. Robot, written by, directed by Sam Esmail, right? And I'm Curly Castro, and I have a wonderful guest with me today. Introduce yourself, sir.
My name is Zilaraka, and I'm Curly Castro's best friend, and no one denies this.
Yes, but if anybody has any empirical evidence to show us otherwise, we're interested in that debate. So,
damn straight.
I got my man Zilla here, Castro. We are Mr. Robot enthusiasts, listeners.
Yep.
So we have dived headfirst into Mr. Robot. In fact, our friendship has come to a head because of season two.
Yeah, it was a difficult time in our friendship. It really tested it.
So now we're back at it. We're back best buddies. All right, and now we're going to be talking about season three. All right, a quick rundown of Mr. Robot. It's a show about a hacker with personality issues. Can we say that's succinct, right? We can say that.
The way I've always said it is basically, what if Fight Club didn't end?
Great, thank you. I like that line.
That's
what if Fight Club didn't end? Yes.
Right.
So when you go into Mr. Robot, you have to think of an unreliable narrator. So
and the main character having a Tyler Durden-esque alter ego that's pushing him to do things he typically wouldn't do.
Let's do this, Z. Let's do a quick summary of each major character. All right. So I'll just start from the top. I got a list here. So let's just go with Elliot, our main character. What did you think of Elliot this season?
This year was – they gave him purpose again, because last year was just being lost in the mind of a crazy person for like 5 hours, where this season
But last season was necessary, and it was a great season.
We're going to do this. Well, yes, I disagree, but however, season three was, it was more.
We'll revisit that, but
Elliot wasn't, he's now aware of his disorder, I guess you want to say it, fully, and trying to come to grips with it and trying to get some type of control, and realizing that his grand plan from season one and two to hack the planet, shout out to hackers, to hack the planet of E-Core and shut down all wealth inequalities and all that stuff and bankrupt all the major corporations, it didn't go out as planned. And now, because like you always think, like when you're going to shut something down, now you have to put something in its place. And what's in its place is potentially something way more sinister. So he's realizing that this year there's some responsibility, and that things actually weren't as bad as he thought at the beginning of season one, and then, you know, beginning of season two. So it was cool where he kind of matured a bit and got some more stability in his own mind about what his purpose is and how he struggles with his personalities.
Yes, indeed. I totally agree. Yeah, so my observance of Elliot is, you know me, because I valued all the seasons. Me and Z will go over last season a little quick just to show you where we parted ways. But I feel like this season, Elliot has been his strongest character, because it wasn't just his skills computer-wise and his skills in espionage. He was actually reining himself in and actually controlling his life for once,
right,
and not being split down the middle or not being misled by his imaginary friends / alternating personality that we didn't know was real or fake when we first started the show. And so I feel like now Elliot is actually, this is a season about control and feeling out of control, losing control, and regaining that control. You know what I'm saying? Yes. All right, next up we have Darlene. I'll start that one, Z. Darlene, I felt like, was very compromised this season, but in a good way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like past season she might have been a little bit directionless, like just like hamster in the wheel, like I'm just going to keep running to do stuff.
Right.
I feel like Darlene did a little bit of that. This season she was compromised. As people that watch the show know, she was under FBI surveillance, and then she turned into a, what do you call them, a CT?
Yeah.
CWCI?
Snitch. And we know snitch. The street term, snitch.
She's a snitch. And but I feel Zia gave her a little bit of direction this mm-hmm. season. And also, I think she had to come to grips with her her brother, like her familial right. issues that she has with her brother and her hand. And I think some of those things came to forefront. You got anything on Darlene?
I think what Darlene's interesting because she's like this really like aggressive, like says what's on her mind, like very direct person. And she, this season, she was like stripped down to being like, yo, she has nobody. She has no boyfriend. She has no friends.
Right.
Her brother, she's snitching on him to the feds. And she realizes, obviously, that he's not the most stable person.
Right.
So, like, this year was more just Darlene feeling like, well, what do I even do? Like, what is my life? Like, I don't
right. –
I'm a part of this big thing that threw the world on its ass, and that sucks. So what did I get out of all this? And, like, she literally has nothing. So made the FBI thing a little appealing.
Well, we'll get to it before we finish this episode. But there is something she says at the end to Elliot that I think defines her purpose a little bit. But I'm not going to forget. We'll get to it.
All right.
Cool. Now we get to the elephant in the room, Mr. Robot. Can you tell the audience about Mr. Robot a little bit?
Oh,
and,
man.
This season, Mr. Robot.
You need to really, like, where do you place Mr. Robot in the Christian Slater canon of characters?
I think
like
I want a little bit. Yeah, I want a couple more seasons. But, you know, funny enough, because this is good that you brought that up. So they're remaking Heather, which is absolutely
really?
One of my favorite.
Yes. Can't remake Heather.
I know exactly. It's a trailer. It's modern. It's like different colors. It's not 80s high school where
right.
a suicide pact makes sense. So anyway,
right.
But just to answer your question, it's up there. I want a couple more seasons so we can have a nice little pop.
Would you put it above, like, Pump Up the Volume?
Okay, now that's a tricky one because that's a favorite, but isn't this his first foray into TV, Christian Slater?
He might have did, like, some, like, random, like,
little
TNT
spot
show.
Stuff, but, like, as
a
recurring
doing, like,
role
rando stuff.
Going from season to season, this is his first time, a recurring role.
I mean, like,
season
and
season.
It's, like, a major, yeah, he probably did something like early 2000s or something.
But with that being the case, I would put it up there above Pump Up the Volume because I feel like he's conquering another avenue. We're big Slater fans. Like I said, we can go all the way back to Heather's late 80s. And
Cuffs.
The fact
I'm a
that,
Cuffs guy, early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
George Cuffs.
But the fact that he's able to what I like this season about Christian Slater, and I'm going to get into the Mr. Robot character, is he's playing Mr. Robot and Alderson in The Father. He's not
okay.
playing Christian Slater, who is Mr. Robot. You know what I'm saying? He's abandoned some of those Christian Slater tropes, and I feel like he's really caught
well,
out of the role.
Well, I think now, yeah, he literally just – well, the Christian Slater trope back in the day was like him just being Jack Nicholson, but a younger version.
Right, yes.
Where he would talk like this all the time and, like,
yeah.
flick his hair
back. And his eyes almost
yeah,
closed.
Yeah, now, like,
yeah.
he's just like a disheveled, like, yelling crazy person. He just yells a lot.
Right.
And it's always like, that's not going to work.
We don't
work.
This.
He talks like in like
now,
cryptic, like confident, cryptic, like hacker talk, where he's like.
Well, let's
like,
all right. Let's get into Mr. Robot then. So Mr. Robot is Elliot's alter ego, and it's also Elliot, right? It's like his better self, like Zilla said earlier. It's with
Michael. Yeah, Tyler Durden.
Right. It's Tyler Durden.
Tyler Durden was the narrator's dad. We never knew that in Fight Club. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because they
we don't know that.
Dad.
Yeah.
We don't know who Tyler Durden is.
Right. And they mentioned
well, we know
him
who
and
Mr.
the dad.
Robot is. Right.
And it was funny because when Tyler and when the narrator were talking about their dad, if we paid attention, we probably could have caught that they were talking about the same person, but just different ways.
Exactly. When he says
you know
that,
what I'm saying?
Like, same here. He's like, yeah. He's,
same
they
here.
Keep agreeing
yeah,
with each
agree.
Other.
Right.
Right. So we only know Mr. Robot as Elliot's dad because we've had like 30 hours of these characters, whereas Fight Club, you know,
right.
like 2 hours,
right.
20 years ago. But
I mean, Christian, he does do a difference where he's Mr. Allison, Elliot's dad, because there's flashbacks
right.
to that. And then we have Mr. Robot, which is actually a piece of Elliot. So this season, it was, as far as Mr. Robot goes, it was a dichotomy. We didn't see him a lot this season, and they weren't talking.
Right.
And
right.
they were actually at odds. So that was very interesting to make them at odds and to make them on either side of the coin. They weren't interacting. They were leaving notes for each other and stuff. So I thought that was very interesting to play him like that. And also, this season, though, which is really good, Z, is Mr. Robot was Elliot. So what I'm saying is to the
right.
listeners, so there's times where Mr. Robot is Elliot, but they were showing people interacting with Mr. Robot. But as a
right.
viewer, you have to remember that's Elliot. Right, he's just
mm-hmm.
in the Mr. Robot persona. And they were doing that a bunch this season, something they didn't do before. And they even the actors said on some of the behind-the-scenes was like, it's funny because you have to, Christian Slater is Elliot, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to, like, look at him like he's Elliot, but he's in this persona. So I thought that was really clever. And also it gave, and I was talking about some actors watching them talk, they were saying that it gave them a chance to actually do scenes with Rami, to do scenes with Christian, because they might not have had scenes with them, depending on if they were in, you know, Rami's wake moments or if they were in Mr. Robot at night and stuff like that. All right, let's keep this rolling. Here's your girl. I'll leave this one up to you. Agent Dom. What did you think of
Dom? Oh, God, I love Dom. She's...
Yeah, that's a girl.
So last year she pops up. She's kind of like a one-note, like workaholic, brainiac, FBI agent. And then this year, you know, because like last year she's brand new to everything. She's like picking up on the stuff little by little. And then this year she's like totally aware of the
mm-hmm.
bigger picture of White Rose and the hack and Darlene and Elliot and then the other hackers that were part of F Society. Like she knows everything. And so we're past like spending all personal time with her to figure out who she is. And now it's just like, how is she going to either catch all these people or like align with Darlene and Elliot to stop the larger threats of the Black Army? So like she's kind of like always in the balance of like doing the right thing, but like you're rooting for her to rock with Elliot and Darlene
mm-hmm.
rather than, you know, straight-laced
right.
FBI, federal government stuff. So like she's just so dope. Like I love her.
And
she's not like anybody else.
We also, at a podcast has no name, we also have the Punisher show in the queue. We're going to review that.
Mm.
And it's funny
yeah.
because the Punisher has an agent that's god-awful.
Terrible.
Right. And compared to Dom, it's really like night and day. So all your listeners, stay tuned for the if the Punisher might be published before this one. And if we did, just notice the difference between What's her name in Punisher? Mandy?
I don't know. She's useless. She's trash. I literally just like pick my phone up and start scrolling through my phone. Anytime I see her on the screen, I'm like, I don't care. Whereas Dom, I get excited when I see. That's all you need to know. Like if you start checking your phone, certain people are on the screen. They're not. They shouldn't be on a show.
Yeah, and that's funny. So all right, but that was good. I don't even have much to add. I like Dom.
Mm-hmm.
I like that she's putting things together, but she also seems like, between a rock and a hard place as we start the season, like she seemed as the season progressed, she seems more and more handcuffed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and limited, like, we don't know it. We're going to talk about it in a couple of minutes, but we don't know. She always thinks something's in my way, and I got to
mm-hmm.
figure out what it is. And it won't leave her alone. She's not going to be
right.
the dutiful soldier and just goes along with it. She has to figure out
right.
in her way. All right, next up we have Angela.
Crazy
wow.
Angela.
Okay, so for all y'all listeners, if y'all, Angela wasn't this crazy season 1 and 2, but she definitely went off the edge, and it was something that happened to her in season 2 that led her to having I think she's the most drastically changed character.
Right.
Because
I said to you, like, from the beginning, she was just a very, like, basic chick. Like, she just had a job
right.
and, like, had a boyfriend who was a clown and, like, so just had an apartment, and she really didn't have any grand designs. She just happened to be friends with, like, the weirdest hackers ever, and Darlene
right.
and Elliot. But,
and
like,
Elliot,
beyond
right.
that, she had no greater scheme of doing anything besides, like, having a job. And then once she got thrust mm-hmm. into this world last season, then she started, you know, changing her posture.
And, you know, remember, Elliot was trying to keep her out of
yeah,
Elliot was trying to keep
her
separated
her.
Out of
right.
it until she had to go get the fence herself. Yeah. Oh, but you know what?
Start dressing,
she was dragged in by the boyfriend. Yeah, but she was dragged in by the boyfriend and Price. So put them two together, and she was going to be a part of this game. But at first, you're
but
right.
That was never her intention. That's not
– No,
She didn't do this on her own choosing. She was pulled in.
Yeah, no. She was
pulled in. By the end
but,
of the
but she's the most – she's the most – I'm not – you know what? I don't want to say she's the most affected, but I'm thinking she was the most drastically affected in a temporary sense because she comes back around as the season progresses, but
yeah, like
she's
like playing dress up. Like she's always she'll wear she wears like more assertive clothes and like always like whites and blacks and like, and then falls in love. She gets seduced by White Rose, this idea, like they're going to change the past. I don't know. But then when she has to really play that game and get in bed with them and do grimy stuff, it like she's not prepared for the real consequences because again, she just never, It would be like in a movie Hackers from back in the day, like some like random dude. It's like, oh, I think I'll be a hacker today, versus like the people that were like in it all day. Like that's all they know. That's all they want to do.
Right.
They have all contingency for everything. They're only friends with other hackers. You know what I mean? So it's like that's where she is. Like she's not in that community.
No,
she's like easily.
She doesn't get the crash course like into it, and she definitely starts being more active, but. That wasn't her world. She didn't come up with Elliot learning computers from her dad or Darlene learning computers from her dad. And, you know, so she definitely was an outsider looking in. So, but I think she's had the most elliptical arc. Like, she seems like she's doing an orbit. You know what I mean? Like, she came real close to the sun, and now she's being flung out. And now she seems like she's coming back to the planet to some type of rooting. I mean, it's painful what happens to her, but I think it was necessary because I think we'll see an even more galvanized character next season with the new information we get from him. All right, next up we got your favorite, our favorite, the world's favorite woman, White Rose.
BD Wong.
BD Wong. All right, first of all, I want to say BD Wong is amazing. He's incredible. He's an asset, a cultural asset, and they need to protect him. Because, I mean, just to do this role. So White Rose, I want to explain to the listeners real quick, is at first you think it's a cross-dresser, but you have to realize White Rose is a girl who wears a man suit, like literally, like puts on a whole man persona just to interact in the world, but mostly is a woman. And it took us a little while. It took me a little while watching the show to take that perspective, to flip it, because I'm thinking that it's a man who in his private moments wants to dress up. It's actually the opposite. It's a woman who, in a public business moment, dresses down into the man persona. I think we got a lot of White Roses this season, though. Is this the most White Rose?
Yeah.
Yes. This is the most White Rose we got, big time.
Yeah.
Took some of the mystery out, but at just when I think this season, and it's the one thing I'll say about it, and we can move forward, I think we thought we knew White Rose a little bit more, and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it like that. I thought we were getting some familiarity, some looking behind the green curtain, like, you know what I'm saying, the Wizard of Oz type shit. And I think we pulled back the curtain, and it was even more wizards. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like going to the Wizard of Oz, pulling back the curtain, and seeing 1,000 wizards at typewriters.
Right, but you also saw, like, the motivation for White Rose is, like, wild petty. Like, she just
petty
does
and,
things.
Let's say fantastical, because the thing she believes in seems a little fantastic. It's the elephant in the room, time travel. We think that she's working on time travel. I like that the show didn't go all the way there, but she's ruthless. She's a very effective villain, and she's petty. One of our good friends on Common NASA made a song called Generosity, and the hook is a BD Wong line. And it's, don't mistake my generosity for generosity.
Yeah.
It's a perfect line. It describes her to a T. All right. You can take this one, Z. Your man Price? Yes.
Price, he was in the background this year. But it was dope because when they pulled him out the gate, like, you know, he's like a typical, like, white collar, baby boomer, trillionaire dude. And you, early on in the series, you look at him as, like, the epitome of, like, corporate greed and wealth. And
right, he was a living, breathing E-Corp.
Yeah, but he was like a G about it. Like, everything he did, like, the way he talked and moved and was dope. But then you start seeing, like, you start sympathizing for him and pulling for him to get back at White Rose, which is bizarre because the whole time you always think, like, he's the guy they're going after. And he represents everything that they wanted to destroy with their hack. But he comes off the bench like at the very end. I like Price. I like the way he speaks. He just kind of feels like he's seen it all. He's like, you know, nothing really fazes him.
I've come around on Price too, and it took me a while because he definitely was the embodiment of Evil Corp. He was, you know, after they got rid of the other guy, it was Price. But like you're saying, there are some redeeming qualities, and he's played the background, so I think we could humanize Price. He took the big hit with the buildings. He took a big hit from White Rose himself. He has a big revelation that we'll get to with Angela. You know what I'm saying? And he was kind of laid bare. You know, he took a big hit. So I think he had to be a little more human this season, you know, hence the revelations that come a little later.
Wow.
Okay. Let's keep moving. Oh, now, let's both take these last two. Let's talk about them in conjunction. Tyrell Wellick and Irvin.
All right.
Okay.
So Wellick.
I'll start. Wellick.
You want Wellick? I'll do Irvin. Irvin's my boy.
Okay, I got Wellick. So Wellick, listeners, which is very, you know, so you don't mind me, I'm just addressing those. What's funny about Wellick is he was such a missing part of seasons past after being a big part of season one. So he was missing season two. Nobody knew who he was. Elliot woke up in his truck. It was a big mystery. This season, we find out where he was and what he was up to. So he wasn't just missing. He was also pretty much mapping out and executing the nervous system for a lot of these plans that they put into motion this season. So, one, I thought he was I got to give him credit for being way more adept and capable. Because last season they showed him with the shooting Elliot and, oh, I love you and we're gods. So he seemed a little delusional. I didn't know he was this capable. I forgot because we had a whole season without him. But if you remember season one and you bring this all, he's very capable. He's a very, very effective heat-seeking missile. He just needs a guidance system. So first it was his wife, then it was like E-Corp, and now it was Elliot, and now it's Irvin. So you could say Irvin.
So Irvin, and Bobby Cannavale. So he, on the surface, like when he was cast, I was like, how the hell is this guy? He's like very debonair, and he's like, he always plays kind of like a tough guy type of dude who's like very macho and very kind of like loud. And that's just always kind of been the parts that they cast him for. Where he plays this dude, Irvin, who's got like this like friggin' Johnny Suede pompadour haircut with like this cheese ball like mustache and like these like 80s accountant glasses and like always wears like a tie with like some like corny shirt. And he's like the day-to-day goon, like handling BI for White Rose. And he was like playing against type. Like he just kind of knew everything that was going to happen before it was going to happen. And he was like very casual about everything. He was like very charismatic while he's orchestrating like severe hacking from like major people in different countries that are trying to wipe out each other's currencies. And it was weird, like how he's like this dude in the middle of it. He's like totally comfortable the whole time. He's just like, oh yeah, this is what we're gonna do. Okay, like stealing cars or like chopping people up with an axe. Like he was just like, yeah, okay, I'm Irvin. All right, like dude's just comfortable. He just likes being Irvin. That dude.
I thought he was a great character. And I thought he was a great character also to be brought in season three. He's brand new for us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And but he comes in, you know, he's a fixer, right? He's a fixer.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Basically a fixer. Okay, that was good. Well, another little side character is Leon, Trenton and Mobley. These people all have like little bit parts within the season, but they're more functions of each episode rather than they're in the whole season.
Right.
So let's run into it. Okay, backstory real quick. I'll jump this question. Do we love how it's turning out? Do we love that the stuff we're getting revealed? Let's talk about that. Like, now we're in season three. He's a more reliable narrator. We're finding out what really happened to him when he was young with his actual father. Do you feel like that's helping you fill in some blanks as far as Elliot? Because, again, he misremembers his own history. Do you feel like it's helpful? The revelation.
I think they're just kind of done with screwing around with Elliot after all this time, and now it's like the nitty gritty. Like, what are you about? So you know, at the very beginning of the show, he was like this Robin Hood where he would like hack people and see them doing like perverted stuff or screwing around people's lives, and he would like set them up with the police and then bust them. And then he becomes like this over-righteous hacker who wants a revolution. And now he's like at a point where like, okay, all that's over and everything's messed up still and nothing's changed really for him. Like he's still by himself. He still struggles with his identity and mental health and right. whatever. So I think he's more, and now he's a purpose for good again. It's like the beginning of the first season was, like I said, some Robin Hood. So you're rooting for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, like you're rooting for him again because he's realizing like he's responsible. He was like a puppet for more ruthless and powerful people. But now he's the only one really capable of getting back at them because he's like, you know, a highly, highly talented hacker. So like you're also in awe of his abilities, like to navigate all these things. And then he has Mr. Robot as like his spirit animal to push him through things mm-hmm. that he really can't handle on his own. So it's dope. Like I don't think he's not unreliable anymore. Like there's little moments here and there where you're wondering what just happened, but like they're going past the cliffhangers of the show early on. Now like we're settled
right.
in. Like this is who he is. This is what he
right.
does.
Right.
So now it's
but
like,
also
okay,
we're getting
now,
but again, yeah, we're getting the revelations of no you oh so all right, let's just dive into it. So Darlene this season, right?
Mm-hmm.
She said something really poignant to Elliot then. So Elliot has memories though. He doesn't remember things. That's a byproduct of Mr. Robot popping in and just his fractured childhood that has affected his mind.
Right.
Darlene says, I'm here to remember for you for the stuff you don't
mm-hmm.
remember.
You're
and
right,
I thought
right.
that was really poignant because that means she mm-hmm. was permanently placing herself in his life, not to pop in and out for his memory
right.
to affect their relationship. I'm here to help you remember. I thought that was really poignant and
that
was a
yeah,
nice
it was dope.
Between the two. And also considering how, you know, they kind of split off this season, her being an informant
right.
and
yes.
being on the run. And then coming back together at the end there. So
yeah, that was
cool.
A good point.
Let's see, what is overt theme? Let's get to that at the end. Like a
right.
summary of like what do we think of the show? So let's pull that to the end. So let's go into
all
plots.
Right.
What did you think of the plots this year? Let's talk about what was the major plot this year?
This year was more like. Like I said, like the real, real after effects of like what if there was a revolution?
Yes. Yes.
And so like that's why I said Mr. Robot's always a continuation of Fight Club because at the end of Fight
yeah,
Club, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it 20 years now,
right.
they blow up
people's up.
Credit card companies and give regular people a chance to start out with no debt. But Mr. Robot's like, okay, now what would happen? Like what would happen with that vacuum of finance and debt and money being gone by like powerful corporations.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Robot has been, you know, and they show like kind of this post-apocalyptic, like day-to-day functioning New York where there's like tents and curfews and soldiers with like assault rifles everywhere. But like people are still doing their thing. Like they're still like going to bodegas and like,
right.
like listening to music and like doing their
right.
day. It's just like their life.
Figuring out their way.
Right. Like the power grid, they're trying to get that back on track and like stuff like that. People are still driving cars and doing whatever and on the internet. So now it's like, okay, now they're really settled into this world where, like you said, it's trying to get itself back on track. But again, who's filling the void of power and wealth
right.
and institutions? So now that's
right.
Like, this year is like, okay, who are they? What are they doing? And then how does Elliot and all the other characters fit? Like, what are their motivations now that these larger powers are trying to take over?
I mean, it's a great insight into, like you said, what happens after the revolution. We have a lot of movies and series that lead us up to these big moments, but we like series that here's a big moment. Now let's deal with the fallout. Hence, The Walking
right.
Dead, Kirkman's I Did It. What happens after Day of the Dead, after Dawn of the Dead?
Right.
And I feel like Mr. Robot is like that too. After the 5-9, and then after the 71 buildings blown up. What society look like? We're not just going to roll the credits like Fight Club.
Right.
We're gonna dive in and see what happens. And I wrote down a question, Z. We'll come right back to it because I think it's the last question I have. But I did write down a question considering how we're going to how the show wants to move forward and the entities right. in it. Okay. Me with the plot, I like the plot. Again, I think plot is always in service of rounding out Elliot. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, we went through this whole thing with E Corp trying to regain control of their systems. They're chasing Elliot. Elliot's chasing them. But also, this is another step in the right direction for Elliot. And I feel like that's always the subplot, is Elliot's mental health, mental well-being moving forward. He had a lot more control. Like, he was even able to have a conversation with Mr. Robot at the end that showed, that illustrated that control in episode 10 that he did not have in episodes 1 to 7.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like that. So that's going to lead us into our next section, comparison to the other seasons. Where would you rank this season? We got three seasons.
I would rank it like second best after season one.
Okay.
Season ones are usually the best. Season one are usually the greatest only because people don't know what they're doing yet. So they don't know, like, what to react to or what they need to give people more of. And it's usually, like, a really new idea, you know, with fresh faces and stuff like that. So, like, season one was, like, a quiet bomb that blew up and then people really caught on to, you know, one of those awards and shit. So it's, like, season one was very electric and you really didn't know what was going on. And then season two, let's just take the gloves off and do it. Season two is a complete mess.
In your opinion.
Like, of course, in my opinion, I'm the one saying it. It's a mess.
Right.
It's so gratuitously, like,
for anybody that needs
fart.
To be filled in.
Sniffs its own farts.
Season
who will be listening to this now? Who will be listening to this if they don't watch
it? I just want to be succinct. So season two had the big rug-pulling moment. Season two led us to believe that Elliot was in a certain situation at first, and then he wasn't. And that was a big chunk of the season.
Right. It was
like
a waste of time.
Up?
It was a waste of time.
He just was very upset. We talked about
it. It didn't need to last 4 to 5 hours.
I can agree with you.
An hour and 18 minutes. It was so strung out for nothing.
I will agree with you. It
wasn't enjoyable.
To me, season two is very similar, and I know you're a big fan of this, to season two of The Wire.
The Wire.
When we get to five seasons, it'll show that it's important.
Yeah, but I don't want to rewatch that season.
But
I understand its importance, and it introduces characters.
And season two introduced our man, Joey Badass.
It makes me want to potentially listen to his new album, which I haven't even done yet. But I see him on the screen. I'm like, all right, I like him on the show. And he had that one single a couple years ago that reminded me of, like, Wicked by Ice Cube, which was cool.
Oh, and I love his Waves song. It's on Waves. I love that stuff. That's my stuff.
We can go on about Joey Badass.
Yeah, we can. So let's get back to it. Okay, but I will agree with you. Season three, top. Season one, top. Season three, two. And season two, third.
Third.
But I will tell you this, and we both agree with this. We like the way this series is trending. It's trending upwards. It's finding its footing. We're big fans of Sam Esmail, and we think he's on the right track. I could see the show going 5-6 seasons. I don't think they should push past that, but I think they can get that 5 and that 6. So,
I mean, ideally, you could lock it up next year and be done with it. I don't know what more
you
do after this.
Yeah, you can.
But then you have to keep creating. Like, actually, White Rose wasn't the main villain. It was this person you don't know. We're going to chase them for, like, the shows do that when, like, they run out of main villain. Like, they wipe out the main villain early and then they keep. Actually, this was the guy pulling strings.
Right.
Oh, now we got to. Who's he or her? Now we got to go after her for 4 years.
Like, but see, that's what I like about this season, is it gave us a little more White Rose, and then just leave her as the mysterious hidden hand in the background. Like, we're actually really getting. Don't forget. They made a lot of nice digs at Trump. So the show is not in present day. It's 2 years ago. So there was a lot of innuendo in this season about them manipulating the Trump.
Yeah, they're in
Mar-a-Lago. Manipulating the election.
Yeah. They're commenting on them. They actually
gave him the green light to get him elected. So it's actually kind of – it makes me laugh a little bit. We're crying on the inside. And
but it's genius. It's actually – I thought it was, like, distracting at first. You know, the show's always existed, like, to kind of channel newsworthy things of culture today. It's like when the first season aired, there was a lot of big hacks that were happening, you know, as the first season was. And then, you know, between the first and second season, there was more hacks. So it was – and then they would have, like, things with Obama in the first couple seasons. So then this season, it's dope to think that White Rose and these Dark Army and all these other people are, like, putting Trump in a position as a puppet, as an asset, which he is in real life for Vladimir Putin, they're going to put him in place. So then this way they can keep destroying the U.S., which is the home of Ecor and Price, and have China dominate and be the world power and be the global leader in, you know, commerce and whatever. So it's kind of played out that way in our time, 2017, you know, and they obviously had the vantage points right at that way.
Now, right.
It's kind of uncanny, like how that
fits. Yeah, it fits. Like, it fits like a glove, as funny as it is. We're talking about a shadow organization, and who else would be a puppet for a shadow organization? And then this idiot.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it makes a lot of sense for them to plug
right.
it.
Right, to back the worst American in the last 50 years.
Because it helps
then
their
become American. Right, who literally cares about nothing. So they're like, oh, yeah, it'd be great. So you keep destroying your own country while we cake off you forever, and then we're the best, and then we give you a ton of money later on, you know, before or after you go to jail. So that's it was cool, like how they kind of – at first I was kind of like, they're really into the Trump stuff. But
right, me too, but I like how it ties in. Okay, so I wrote down a question. So let me give a little background. I mean, so anybody listening should have watched the season.
Why would you listen to this if you haven't watched it?
Yeah, I know. We don't shy away from the spoilers.
What are you, Bozo?
What is Bogo? So
yeah, bro.
In this last season – what Elliot eventually ends up doing with the help of Mobley and Trenton, may they rest in peace, he finds a way to decrypt all of the information they encrypted from Ecor. And he sent off that decryption key back to, like, an anonymous Ecor employee or email. Mm-hmm. Here's my question to you, Z. Now that they have a way to undo the 5-9, and me and you, we're light, but we're about to get heavy into cryptocurrency, does it benefit them to go back? Now, that's where I'm curious. Does it benefit them to actually use what Elliot gave them to take everything back? Okay.
Yeah.
Then why do you think so?
All right. Because, again, you can't be in a country that is the global leader in culture and commerce and finance and a high GDP. You can't be a citizen of that country and – tunnel all of your hatred towards one financial institution and then blow that up at the quiet behest of a foreign power that wants you to do that. Because now, like, as we've seen, like, over the three seasons, like, their day-to-day life in New York, like, America is a toilet.
Yeah.
So
that's a great
people,
point.
Like, I guess, still have jobs, but it's like, it's heavy regulated by the military, and then there's people on the street, and like there is no money real system.
Right.
And they're trying to wipe out people's entire – like doing that, like you're helping another country destroy your country from the inside out. But you think
about
your cause
it internationally,
right.
But you're right. I did not
think
about
it
that way.
Because it doesn't benefit
right. –
it never benefited any U.S. citizen what they did. It didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it did
mm-hmm.
because, you know, he was caught up in his head about – and I agree with a lot of the points he brought up about society.
But in practice and in application, as we saw the show us, it didn't.
Right.
Ecoin
right.
emerged.
Now, the other things you can do, like what he should have – right. Like he should have thought about a way – and this happens in our planet and our lives right now with, like, the GOP tax bill that's going to screw all of us that aren't the 1%. He should have thought of a way to punish the extremely, extremely rich people, like on a case by case or group, not like the entire institution. So
yeah, I mean, I know it's TV, but we are only focused on one company. It's like it's not like he took down Dark Army's businesses. He just took down.
That's
Equal.
What I'm saying. He didn't mess with them. So like they're standing up firm, and then our side, so to speak, has a big black eye. So but he's the one that did it. So him reversing it. You know, obviously, like, it gives Price more ammunition to right the ship. But Ecor and Wellick, Wellick's now, like, the CEO or
CTO.
Something. Or
the CTO. He's the CTO.
Yeah,
CTO.
And he's mega savvy. You know what I mean? Like, he's
right.
crazy, but, like, he's also
they're
a
not
genius.
Keep him
so, like,
in check. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're
so, like, having him
check,
on your side is good to protect yourself. And so it's, like, it was a lot of, it was, you know, it's like an act of hubris, but I think – yeah, you have to reverse it because
you think
they'll
reverse
like
it.
Your
okay.
country's not going to get better.
I was wondering just on the cryptocurrency because they control Ecoin and it's out there.
Right.
would it be Burford and going back? But you're definitely correct. I totally agree with you. They have to go back to revert it, because it's not like they're living in a utopia right now with the way things
are. Right, because now you're always getting handouts, and now you're always in the bag of some other power.
Always in the red holding other power holding. Yeah. Great. Oh, that's a great point. That was real good, Z. Real good.
You got to do that.
Okay. Rewatchability, and do you recommend the series?
The whole series?
Yes. Let's just do this season. This season, and then you can confirm on the series. This season, do you think it's rewatchable?
Oh, totally, definitely. There was the one shot episode, when they were in the high rise and like the Occupy when they're blowing everything up, and that was phenomenal.
There was a lot of great cinematography this season.
It's the best shot show on TV for 3 years in a row. Nothing touches the show on any format.
The music choices
is amazing. The opening credit sequence is always amazing.
The cast is great. We know all of these people, Portia Doubleday, Rob. You know, we watched them in other shows, but it really...
A little bit. Like, Christian Slater was the biggest name, but, you know,
And
I also like how dirty, even from the beginning, like, they've always made... They made, like, their New York, like, really dirty.
The aftermath of the revolution. Trash in the streets. You have to come up with new trash companies. The fact that there's no sanitation company, they've answered that. There's a pile up of garbage, people burning stuff, because that's what would happen. We don't see any firemen. We see military. We don't see police. We don't see firemen. We see military. So, anybody that likes watching good TV and can be quiet and follow a plot, I recommend it. If you do stuff while you're watching TV, I wouldn't recommend it because there's Sam Esmail makes no mistakes. There's nothing coincidental that's going on. If you see a clock with a Mickey Mouse hand on the 3 and the 2, keep that in mind because that comes back later. So I think it's an attention to detail show. Yeah, a lot of Easter eggs. I mean, you still can enjoy it.
The first season, there were so many genuflections to Fight Club. From them using, like, Where Is My Mind, you know, the song from the end of Fight Club, they used that.
Yeah.
And then the whole, and even, like, this year when Elliot's, like, beating himself up in the hallway.
That's a big,
you know what I mean? Straight up
callback to Fight Club.
When Tyler Durden, the narrator, like, dragging each other around on the security camera shows as one person. Or even, like, Music Soul Child video for Half Crazy. Remember that?
Yes. Yep.
Where he's, like, drinking by himself and the bottle just falls.
It's great, but no.
If you're a fan of Music Soul Child, they have a crazy video.
There you go.
Fight Club. The natural extension is a show called Mr. Robot. Bang.
Yes.
You want that? But again, I don't know why you would be listening to this. You wouldn't be like, I've never heard that. I've never seen that show. I should watch or I should listen to the podcast. They break down in detail 3 years worth of information.
I would not suggest this for any novices. Even if you listen to our episode by now, stop, pause it, go watch the series. Come back, you know what I'm saying, leave a comment and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I would never listen to a podcast about a show I'd never watched. I would never do that. And I listen to 14,000 podcasts a week. I would never do that. But if you're that weird person, I mean, God bless you. That's bizarre.
All right. I want to go back through the character list real quick just to make a reference of where everybody is, and then we can wrap it up. Elliot is galvanized. He, at the end of the season, he has a little more control of what's going on. Darlene, I feel like she's reunited with her brother, and that's a good thing. And she's also off, like she's not a CI anymore. Mr. Robot, I think, is more interested in collaborating with Elliot to get Black the Dark Army back, because Mr. Robot don't take that. You messing with us and embarrassing me and using me to blow up 71 buildings, he's not going to take that sitting down. Don has been compromised. She's an agent for the Dark Army now because they killed her superior and made her take her place. Angela realized that Price is her father, and she had a big breakdown. She was in the midst of a breakdown, and then Price had to bring her back from the edge of insanity.
Right.
But she was going crazy. Yes. And so I think that was good that reveal helped bring her around and come to grips with that she was very much responsible for those 71 buildings as well. White Rose, I feel like, is empowered. But I feel like she might flip up.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I think she might flip up. I don't think we have to die too much, but I think she's empowered. She's won. She has a victory right now, but I think there's a flip up in the future. Tyrell Wellick, I think it's what you said. He's very savvy. He was made a puppet head to be CTO of E-Corp, but now with the hack being undone and the power going back, I think you'll find out some interesting things between Wellick and Price, because even Price said you're a figurehead, but I think Wellick will take it further than it is. And Irving is on vacation, and we might never see him again.
My man. So, I love that dude.
All right. So yeah. So anybody that's watching that's heavy into it like we are, stay tuned. Dive into the next season 4, and you know, a podcast I have no name. We'll review that too, and I'll bring back my man to the Rock. That's right now.
I'll be here.
So we thank y'all for listening. This has been a podcast has no name. I'm Curly Castro. I'm signing out.
I'm signing off, Zill Rocker. I got another call. God bless.
Later, guys. Peace. All right, y'all. That is a podcast has no name. We just finished our season recap of season 3, Mr. Robot, created by Sam Esmail, starring Rami Malek and Christian Slater. I know Ann ain't using none of this shite. Podcast has no name.